Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me in the Extra Hour to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
If you missed the first hour, you got to catch it. We're talking about, is Google wanting to inject their Google phone, their Android phone, into our bodies? I know it sounds crazy, but you got to check it out. Listen to it. Also, check it out on the Torch at VFNTV.com. We got a video of them showing it being injected into your bodies. Is it the mark? Also, you'll hear about in the first hour how New York is now listing the home addresses and names of people who have guns in their city. At least one paper is doing that. What are we coming to? It's time for the church to wake up before we lose this gift called America. It's a good country. Study our history. It wasn't good. This is a good thing. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
My goodness, trying to inject a phone. It's like, oh my goodness, they went into his forehead, they went into his chest, and they went into his right arm. And that is Matthew. I mean, that's Revelations, the mark of the beast, where he says there'll be a mark on your forehead, and there will be a mark on your right arm. And you got to check that out. If you haven't yet heard that, go to the first hour. Also, listen to the highlights at VFNTV.com or on your app, or go to the VFN Torch and watch the video of what we're talking about so you can know. This is no freaky program. We're making stuff. This is the real deal. This is the real deal. This is what they're doing. You got to slow it down. I mean, it's 30-second vision, but you got to slow it down and watch each individual slide of what they're showing. And eventually, they said, this is not an extension of your phone. What did they say? This is an extension of you. Isn't that wild?
Yeah. It's
weird. Wow.
Totally just amazing how quickly, you know, things are being fulfilled. You know, we're like 5 days away from the fiscal cliff. Mm-hmm. Fiscal cliff. Let's just call it money cliff, because a lot of people think you're thinking about a physical at the doctor's office or something. The money cliff. We're 5 days away from the money cliff. The House, and it's reported, you know, on the Capitol Hill that the House and the Senate leaders are frozen about this fiscal talk. They're just frozen. Mm-hmm. But they're not wanting to do it.
Right.
Because both of them would be... Well, first of all, the president will be giving up, you know, buku bucks, because 90-something percent of Americans are going to get tax raises. And he said he wouldn't do it. But by his inaction, it's going to cause people to get the tax raises.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's going to say, well, it really wasn't my stubbornness and my inability to sit down and talk with people. It's actually them now. I was like, really? Are we? And the sad thing is, we might not be that smart. It's like, do we really believe this?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do we really believe that? And right after this thing goes through, they're talking about raising the debt ceiling from $16 trillion to $16.4 trillion. They're already preparing to be able to, which means raise our credit limit on our credit card to $17 trillion bucks or whatever and borrow money. And by the way, Japan's new prime minister's doing the very same thing. I mean, where is this all coming from? How is this happening? But listen, let me tell you what's going to happen. This physical, Fox News reports this morning, that prisoners are so excited about the physical cliff about to hit the money cliff. They are so excited about it because they know that the funding for prisons is not going to be there. And they're preparing to be released.
Wow.
They're preparing. Criminals are about to be released. You know, reporting on Fox News this morning, you know, that they can't afford to keep them. I mean, it costs thousands of dollars to keep one prisoner. I don't know why it costs so much. America needs to be like an Etch-a-Sketch, you know, just got to shake it and like start over again. Either way, it costs like $30,000+ to probably more than that, but I know in the Gulf Coast region, I think it's around $37,000 a prison or something like that a year. Like, just give them the money and pay to get them to do something, call it a job.
Right.
But either way, they're going to release the prisoners. So the prisoners are excited in 5 days. America, in 5 days, because our president will not sit down and agree to say, listen, let's don't raise the taxes on the middle class. Let's leave the tax cut that President Bush gave the middle class. Let's just don't mess with it. Because that middle class tax cut came from President Bush. It didn't mm-hmm. come from anybody else. Mm-hmm. And our president could sit down and say, listen, let's don't mess with what President Bush gave America. Mm-hmm. Because this big raise is a raise on the tax cuts that President George Bush gave America. Mm-hmm. These are the President Bush tax cuts. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. They're not giving him any credit for these tax cuts. That's his. And if it expires, then what he did for us, we're about to lose. Everybody's all panicking. It's like, oh my goodness, all the good things for President George W. did for us, we're not going to have anymore. You don't hear anybody say that, do you?
Mm-mm.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh my goodness, you know, are we doomed? You know, are we really doomed? Is this it? Is this it? You know, maybe we need an extension of our intelligence. The problem is somebody's going to type in what we're supposed to think.
Right.
So yeah, prisoners, Fox News reports this morning that prisoners are excited about what's about to take place because they're going to be released on the streets of America. Isn't that wonderful? Imagine now if you were a victim, if you were raped, if you were assaulted, you were robbed, your home mm-hmm. was robbed, and you're about to find out that in 5 days, the person that you took the guts to prosecute, that you went down and you sat in the witness stand and you said, that one right there robbed my home, and they're mm-hmm. serving 5 years, 10 years in jail or in prison, and they're about to get released.
Mm-hmm.
And your local paper printed the fact that you, where you live, what your name is, and that you got a gun. It's like,
thank you.
Bad combination. I remember it was so strict years ago, and I'm sure it is today, but when we were in the sheriff's department, our dispatch had the ability to run, you know, criminal checks and all that different stuff and say, run me a local, which means check out for warrants on somebody locally. Then somebody would say, we'd say, run them all the way. That means run them on your state computer for crime, the local, county, and city, but also on the national computer, like FBI and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you type in their driver's license number, and it tells you if they have anything. Well, so one of our dispatchers typed in the president's name and date of birth, and just less than a minute, ring, ring, ring. Oh, this is the Secret Service. We see somebody's running the president's. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like that quick. You know why? Because that's smart. You don't want people messing with people. But why is it okay for this paper in New York to run all these names and addresses mm-hmm. and possessions in a paper?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why isn't somebody jumping on that?
Right.
I'm just hoping this. But today's technology, you can reverse this thing. You can take it upon yourself and say, you know what? I'm going to be the city reporter. I'm going to report the truth. You know, and I'm just going to go. And if that happens, I'm going to turn the tables to say, okay, if it works this way, it'll work the other way. And all of a sudden start making available, you know, their stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they would stop.
Right.
Or they would say, hey, this is cool. We're all vulnerable now. You know, I don't mm-hmm. know. But yeah, the prisoners are excited because of the 5 days, the fiscal cliff, the money cliff is going to hit. And our president took a vacation to Hawaii, which he possibly obviously needed with his family. But at a time like this, you chose the job. You ran for it again. Hang around and resolve the issue. Don't let the Bush tax cuts go. Don't let the Bush tax cuts go away. You know, Mr. President, if you do that, then everybody, you're going to be raising taxes on all of 90-something% of America. If you allow this thing to happen in 5 days,
mm-hmm.
You're basically this great, obviously, it's so huge what George W. Bush did for us that everybody's panicking what he did for us is about to be taken away.
Mm.
Wow.
And you're in Hawaii? I mean, come on, please. You know, please take a moment. I mean, even Starbucks is saying, listen, they're having a campaign saying, you know, work this out. They're putting something on their cups. I don't know what it is, but
yeah,
they're saying, you know, talk this thing out. Talk this thing out. And remember, it's equal powers. The executive branch has equal powers with the legislature branch. So you can't say, hey, you know, Congress, just do what the president says. And you can't say, oh, president, just do what Congress says. But you come together knowing that America chose you both and you work out a deal. You compromise and you say, you know what? And I believe the Speaker of the House and Congress has put together a compromise that says, you know, raise taxes on people who make $1 million or more. Go ahead and raise taxes, but don't mm-hmm. do away with the tax cuts that will disappear that George W. Bush gave America by doing nothing, Mr. President. And he's like, he's continuing on. And it's like, don't you care about Americans? Don't you care about, you ran your whole campaign talking about the middle class. Listen, they're leaving. They're leaving California because of this kind of mindset. You know, why would the middle class have to abandon, you know, abandon California because of taxes? And I know if you haven't heard yet, you need to go to VFN TV. You need to watch, you know, Josiah. You know, Josiah, and understand that I truly believe our president is God's set man, that you know, God put him in place, allowed him to be there for a time such as this. And he has the hand of America, and he's escorting us under the allowance of God to a place that we're going to find out we really don't want to be, but it's because we rebelled against God. It's because the church rebelled against God. Mm-hmm. And it's like, y'all don't even see it. We don't even see it. Don't you see what's going on? I mean, this is... This is socialism 101, you know. This is where all of a sudden you do work to pay taxes because the government is the one that pays for everything, and they determine whether you're going to get it or not. And you say, "Wow, I got to see the doctor." And he says, "Okay, we'll see you in 6 months."
Yeah,
we'll see you in six. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah,
I'll see you in 6 months. But it hurts. Well, okay, 6 months. We'll see you in 6 months. I mean, look at your driver's license. I mean, how encouraging is that to go get your, and I'm not against anybody that works with the driver's license office, but you know how it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like the most cordial environment, you know, that they just like, "Oh, just so glad to see you." You take a picture, it looks horrific, and they go, "You got to use it." And it's like, you could take another one. That's horrific. You
know? Right.
That's just horrific. It's like, you know, it's just like a little mercy here. Now, can you imagine that? It's like, you got to take the operation. Like, I don't want that operation.
Yeah, exactly.
I want a different one. We make mistakes now when people get paid millions. Imagine when they get paid dollars and what mistakes are going to be made.
Sorry, just give you something extra. Just deal with it.
I'd like for you to meet my sister. It used to be my brother. He went to the government hospital. And this, as a matter of fact, the Lord laid on my heart to, I'm just trying to grasp how it used to be so we can realize what we have. So we can help talk about what we're about to lose. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And this particular company, media company, produced these documentaries for the BBC, and it's called London Hospital 1907. And it's showing the state-of-the-art London Hospital, and it takes right from their records. And they have the actors, and also they're acting out what happened in the actual journal. They journaled everything with hands. Go figure, right?
Wow.
And then personal experiences and witnesses and memories and stuff like that. And so they put this all together, and it's like, it was the man who invented the X-ray machine was in this hospital in 1907, but he gave his own hands literally were burned off because, you know, it didn't work the first time.
Wow.
It didn't work the second time. And so they would just gradually cut his fingers off till he had no more fingers left. But they were just blown away because in 1907, because in the London Hospital, that they had the ability now, prior to that, they didn't have it, to take an X-ray of you. And they could look into your body and find out something's broken or bleeding or whatever. Prior to that, they just kind of feel, and they would wait until the manifestation of almost death. Mm. And they go, I think we need to cut them open. And some of the other things, they didn't know about sanitation, and they didn't have gloves. You know, all these life expectancy was 47 years.
Wow.
And, you know, we'd be like, we're in the twilight days.
It's almost over, man.
We're like that wise dude on that movie thing. You're like, come to me. I'll tell you wise things. I don't know what that is. Not a Star Trek. Yoda. We're like Yoda. That's how old we are according to those days. But 47, you would die. I mean, pretty much you're going to die at 47.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It was so bad that the children brought into the hospitals had huge rat bites all over them, scurvy and all these different diseases. And it was because the men were poor. They were poor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why these things, that's what's happening today on the earth, why people are sick quite often. It's not because we don't have something to help them out. They don't have the finances to be able to get the meds to be able to be healed. But they didn't have the knowledge back then of so many different things. And so they didn't even know about CPR. So the man's in the operating room. he's doing the surgeon, and they always had the other younger doctors around, and basically every time it was a show, because they would tell them, teach them from by practical things. And so the man's laying there, and he's doing a simple, like he had blood in his lungs or something, and all you do for that is just kind of put a little slice on your rib area, and they put a tube in, and it kind of drains the blood off. Simple operation. Mm-hmm. Well, while they were doing that, the anesthesia that time was the stuff that we use for dentists today.
Oh.
You know, the what do they call that? With
Novocaine?
Laughing gas.
Novocaine. Not Novocaine. Well, it's, yeah, the gas, kind of gas.
Laughing gas.
Well, he didn't laugh. But it's some minor thing like that. And so it would take you all. Oh, no. You put it on a rag.
Chloroform?
No,
it's coming. It's coming.
It's coming up. Here it comes. Come Remember, on. you put it on their faces and they go out, put it on a rag.
Chloroform.
Is it chloroform? Okay. Mm-hmm. It's chloroform. Well, he is Pat, so yes, Pat. He would know.
Haven't tried this or anything.
Fact, man. Fact,
I've
man.
I've seen it done.
And so it would cause you to stop breathing almost. And because it was a lung situation, the guy tells him, you know, you can't do this. It's probably going to stop him. He'll probably die on the table. And of course, he stopped breathing. And so the doctor goes, the surgeon goes, which were, I acted like they were gods back then, you know.
All right.
And they said, this will not happen on my table. And so he cuts the man open. Right below his sternum, he reaches in. He has to cut his diaphragm. Sticks his hand up to his heart and begins to massage his heart to be able to bring him back to life again. Well, today we call that CPR. We just take our hands and our fists and we press on the chest, and that presses the heart, and we breathe in their mouth and that reason. They didn't even know that in 1907.
Wow.
And so here, this man, you know, has this major operation because they didn't have the technology or the knowledge that we have today.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have anesthesia that we have. So many people died. You know, they're watching all these people die from these different types of anesthesia they would try. Huge prices were paid by human beings, and doctors were taking them, and I don't know if they were necessarily right, some of these things that they were doing, but just little children, just seeing them just devastated. You know what? And we have such a blessed country today. We're just so blessed. We don't know where we came from. We don't realize how it was that suicide was a crime. It was a crime back all the way up to 1961. You know why? Because everybody was doing it. You know, the women would drink bleach, and the men would cut their throats with razors. That's pretty much a standard thing that would happen. That was their record. So they would come in. They know, hey, the man's throat's cut. It's pretty much he did it. If she's drunk bleach, they would actually abort their own children. If they had so many children, they just couldn't take anymore. They would do things like that, like Lysol and different things like that. And just horrific things were taking place.
Wow.
And it's like, look what God has done for America and how he's blessed us and the technology and the wisdom. And people would die from simple infections after a surgery that they could have lived. Little children were dying because there was nothing to fix, no shot, no simple vaccination. There was no penicillin, you know, all these different things that has happened during this short period of time. And it's like, do we want to give this up?
Mm-hmm.
Do we really want to give this up? And it's like, that's what we're fighting for, the original intent for this nation, the original intent for the church. And yes, now, because of Google, even the original intent for the human body. We'll be right back.
You may be joining us today, and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through his Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. We try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent his Son so that you can have a relationship with him. Go to meetmyfather.org, and you can read some of our stories.
Pat, isn't abiding with the Lord just an awesome thing to be able to do?
Oh yeah, it's wonderful.
I mean, talk to us, man. How has that affected your life?
Well, it's just changed it. I mean, for years I struggled with that, you know, spending time with God in regards to, you know, hearing his voice. But when God introduced me to abiding and, you know, and journaling and hearing what he's saying and writing it down, it's been life transforming. I mean, I can hear him clearly, and it's beautiful. And, you know, it's just a wonderful thing.
It's so cool, isn't it, to know that you're hearing the voice of God?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
He says that, you know, his sheep will hear his voice and follow none other.
That's right.
That's so important, isn't it?
It's just amazing. And he knows exactly what you're going through at that particular time in your life. And it's just amazing where he leads you. Right. You know, you think you did it.
Right.
You know, when you open up the scriptures and there it is. And like, wow. Wow, God, that was awesome.
This is cool, too, that by doing it, you begin to be faithful, that all of a sudden your whole family now abides with God and by alone with God,
mm-hmm.
and you all even come together and share about it, right?
That's right. Yeah, we sure do. We all come together at the same time every week, get together as a family, my wife, my two children, and we talk about what God said to us that week.
Does God speak to everybody in your family?
Every one of them, yep.
And what's their ages? With the children.
Yeah. Yeah, right. My 10-year-old son, my 14-year-old daughter.
Right. Isn't that awesome, though, to know that God is speaking to your whole family?
Yeah.
You're out there, you're listening right now, you're thinking, man, I didn't think that was possible. I thought you had some lesson plan or something. You had some little study guide or something. I didn't know that you can have a simple plan that even a 10-year-old can do and hear from God, hear the voice of God. Listen, we're called to hear his voice. If you don't have a plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's available at iabide.org. It's free. Request it today. Go to iabide.org. Request your plan. It'll be sent to you immediately in your email. iabide.org. You know, VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, we are a Christian. We're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news core. We're just saying, you know, what's going on from what we understand and just kind of sharing our opinion about it and what God's laying on our heart. We believe that God speaks through his word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir, you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and
yes,
we're trying to tap into what he's saying and hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of his word. And so I just want to clarify that. That's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back. And those that are being led to the Lord, I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God has his own, that he's drawing to himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me in the Extra Hour is Pat, John, and Chris. Here we are. We're coming to the last half hour of our Extra Hour. So many things to talk about. I want to remind you, when I was talking about in the first hour about standing up and living for God and coming out from amongst the crowd and live for God in 2013, I'm talking to the church, which means you don't step out from the church. That's not, never want to say that. You want to step out to be the church, to step out to start being the church that God's called us to be, to make his manifold wisdom known to the heavenly realm. Listen, it doesn't take many. It doesn't take many. If one could put 1,000 to flight and two could put
10,000
to flight, think about that. Imagine what that 300 was able to do. Ooh. The 300 was able to do, you know, it was able to set a nation free of God's people, which means all of God's people were held captive, but God called out a few people who were willing to step out and stand out from amongst them and be separate and say, you know what, here we're not any different. But we're willing to do what you need to do, God, what we need to do to be able to show yourself mighty, to set your people free, to get all the glory and all the credit. And I'm just believing that. And maybe I'm calling you out right now. Maybe I'm calling you out for 2013. Listen, take the year off from all the narcissism, all the programs, all the whatever has been going on, and turn off all the distractions and say, you know what? 2013's for God. Mm-hmm. It's for God. And find out more about that. Maybe VFNU's for you. Go to VFNU.org. I'm like, look at everything we're doing. Go to greglancasterministries.org and just see everything and say, listen, you know, I want to be able to find out how to step out, to stand out, and stay rightly related, and to honor everything God's established, but to be bold for God. That's what we're doing, and maybe you're called to be a part of it. Chris, what's God saying to you, man?
Well, hello. You know,
hello.
Hello.
Hi, Chris.
Yeah. Sorry, I had to make some adjustments.
I like the intro, the hello is just so profound, you know. It's me again, Ethel.
Well, last time.
oh, it's the hello and then the oh. I'm messing. Go ahead.
The last time talking about how, so you're going to do it to me today. All the finger pointing signs, numbers.
What?
Chris, talk about it now.
Oh. Right.
I'll shut down.
Does his mic go out? I think his mic went out. Okay.
No, really. You know, I talked about how, you know, how faithful God is, you know, despite our circumstances and everything that goes on in front of us, that God is faithful. You know, he is there. God is with us. And I was reading again in Psalms, and David is writing, he says in Psalms 5, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my sighing, listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray in the morning. O Lord, you hear my voice in the morning. I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation.
Oh, wow.
You know, and...
Good.
You know, are we crying out? Mm. You know, this is what jumped out at me. Is like, I know so many times in my walk, you know, I go back and I look, there's been many times that, you know, I didn't cry out or I didn't ask. I didn't go before God with my request. You know, I started looking, you know, to myself, you know, instead of looking to God. But he is so faithful. He continues to be faithful, and he's there, and he's waiting for us just to cry out to him. It's just in the morning I cry out, you know, every day. And then when you cry out, you wait in expectation that he's going to answer.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. Right.
That's faith, isn't it? It's like, yes. I didn't cry out just to cry out.
Right, right.
I cried out because God heard me, and he's going to answer.
Right. And then he goes on to say,
and he does say, you know, broken and contrite heart, he does not turn away from. So it's crying out, it comes out of a broken heart, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, definitely. Wow. Definitely. And he goes on to say, but by your great mercy, I will come into your house in reverence. Will I bow down toward your holy temple? You know, but it's by, you know, God is so merciful that he gives us the ability to be able to come into his house, you know, to seek him and to bring those requests before him. He's given, you know, he's opened that door for us to be able to come in. And then it led me to in Luke chapter 18 of where Jesus talks about the parable of the persistent widow who came before the unrighteous judge. And because of her persistence, you know, he granted her request. Mm-hmm. Cool. Towards the end of that story, of that parable, Jesus says, Oh my goodness. he says, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Mm. You know, and it was just like, do we have faith enough to cry out and to ask him and waiting for expectation that he's going to move on our behalf, you know, and that...
Turn to God, not to everything else.
Right.
Mm. And he is the answer. Say, dear God, if you don't move, nothing's going to happen.
Right.
Mm. Right.
Then wait expectantly.
Right.
And reverently, you know, we're in the new covenant, we are the house of God. So no matter where we are, we can be humble and be reverent towards God, knowing not that you are the temple of God. Mm. and then understanding with expectancy that he is, you know, going, if we persist and don't say, well, you know, I cried out once and nothing happened.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah. That's so good. Just keep asking and ask until you receive. Believe that you're going to receive it, mm-hmm. and profess it.
Right.
You know, profess it. That's a good word.
Very good.
That's a very, very good word. And, you know, right now we got to turn to God and not Google.
Right, exactly.
We got to turn to God and not ourselves. Mm-hmm. We don't need to turn to our jobs, and we don't need to turn to those type of things, but we need to be able to turn to God in everything that we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's, you know, and it's important, you know, learning to cry out towards God. I had a lot of things going on at the same time, trying to get things together here. But the that's so meaningful, because no matter where you are, if you are a believer, God is with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And his spirit dwells inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And the glory of God is released. It's really not brought down. It's brought out from you.
Mm-hmm.
And to release the glory is for you to begin to have your faith stirred, where all of a sudden Christ in you begins to just manifest around you in people's lives. That's why you have a group of believers together and you begin to worship and give testimonies and share God's word. And the faith is just built up, and it's not like God really comes down. It's God comes out from amongst you.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden now he's ruling, you know, in your midst, but it's God being released from you. That's why we're like God containers. And he says, I want you to go to where I send you, and I want you to preach the kingdom of God is near. And the reason why it's near, it's not because of a building is near them. It's because the kingdom of God is within you. And because the kingdom of God is within you, and you are close to that person geographically,
mm-hmm.
now the kingdom of God is near them.
All right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's what's so exciting about, you know, what Chris is sharing here, that, you know, then we can cry out to God at that very moment, and people can turn to the Lord. And at that moment, they can receive Christ. At that moment, Christ in you can be Christ in them as well, because they can invite Jesus. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're thinking, I'm hearing this right now. I didn't realize. I thought it was a building up the street. I thought it was a cathedral. I thought it was this. I didn't realize that God wants to live inside of me.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to take over my life and forgive me and redeem me and bring me to the life that he had planned for me from when he knit me together in my mother's womb. I didn't realize that. Well, if that's you, listen, cry out to him where you are right now. Cry out and expect him to answer, because if you do, he says, those that call upon the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. Mm-hmm. And understanding that, and you can find out more about how to meet the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, at meetmyfather.org. But understand this, at this very moment, crying out in expectancy, Lord, save me, deliver me, set me free, bring me out of the situation. God, fix my marriage. Lord, help my children. God, touch my finances. God, change the church in America. Change this nation, God. I mean, God hears those things. You know, we don't know mm-hmm. when he's going to respond, but understand he hears those prayers and he'll answer.
Yeah. It's like, you know, was in my Bible time, I was reading in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 about Hezekiah. Chris, it's amazing how it just kind of all goes together. But the word says that after all that Hezekiah had so faithfully done, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah. And sometimes, you know, we think an attack or something going bad is because, you know, maybe something's wrong with us. Maybe you're coming under attack because maybe you're doing the right thing. You know what I'm saying?
Probably. That's you know, I mean, why would, think about it. If you're a spy for the bad guys, they're not going to mess with you.
Yeah.
Unless you turn good.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So you're doing the right stuff, and all of a sudden things are coming against you. And so here the king of Assyria is trying to wage attack on Hezekiah. And Hezekiah's like, he starts consulting his officials. He starts moving into wisdom. Maybe he was listening to the wisdom moment, just joking, but he was, you know, applying to some wisdom in his life and getting his officials and cutting off water supplies and doing all these things. But then the king of Assyria, as he's getting closer, he starts to send messages to Hezekiah, and he sends messages to the people, you know, that he's ruling. And it's all this just negative, just attack. And where's your God? And is God going to be able to deliver you? And we've conquered all these other lands and all these other gods. And is your God really going to be able to stand there for you and protect you? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Word of God says in verse 10 that basically, you know, Hezekiah started encouraging his people. And this is so important because, you know, when you're facing something, no matter what it is, you got to have a vision to come on out. You got to know what God's word is saying. You got to see your way out of this. And in verse 7, rather, he says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because the king of Assyria and the vast army with him, for there's a greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." Listen, if you're trying to fight this battle all alone, if you're trying to do this within your own strength, you know, strength against strength, the enemy would beat you every time, flesh to flesh.
Right.
But if God is on your side, and he is, if you're a believer, you've made him the Lord of your life, the Lord's going to fight this battle for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then talking about crying out, exactly what you just said, Chris, Hezekiah begins to cry out to God. He begins to cry out to the Lord and watch the Lord intervene on his behalf. And in verse 20 says, King Hezekiah, the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, cried out in prayer to heaven about this. And the Lord sent an angel who annihilated all the fighting men and the leaders and the officers in the camp of the Assyrian king. So he withdrew to his own land, disgraced. And even when he went into the temple of his God, little G God, some of his sons cut him down with the sword. And it's like, look, all we need to do is cry out to God. All we need to do is seek the Lord in our situation, not respond with the arm of the flesh, not to listen to the voice of the enemy. And it's so important because Hezekiah, right from the very beginning, started to cast vision. He started to speak over his people. If you're called to lead a group of people, if you're a leader in your own family, if you're a parent, it's so important that you share the word of the Lord with your family, that you wouldn't share the encouragement. Because if you're not speaking to your family, if you're not leading, believe you me, the enemy is. And oftentimes the enemy can't beat us. Why was the king of Assyria trying to attack them with their mind? You know what I'm saying? Like with accusation. Because maybe he couldn't beat them with the arm of the flesh. Even though he had a vast army, he was trying to get in their head. He was trying to put these lies in there.
That's where a lot of people get confused, that when you look at David's life, you know, David fought so many physical wars. He used his body so much, his mind so much, his skill so much that God defined him as, "You're too bloody to be able to build my temple and let your son build it."
Mm.
But he was a man after God's own heart. It was wars that he had for him.
Right.
But yet, every single victory he ever had in battle, he understood God gave him the victory.
Mm-hmm.
And he would seek the Lord. He would abide with God and seek the Lord before he would actually go to that battle. And God would say that, "I want you to fight this one and I'll give you victory." Well, a lot of times where we have difficulty in turning to ourselves and turning to God, because we're physically involved at the job, at the workplace, that we're getting involved in things, sometimes in our carnal nature, we have the tendency to take credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and God has a way of reminding us, like he did Nebuchadnezzar, that it's actually him.
Bro.
Yeah, and just because we're involved in it, listen, he's given us the air to breathe. He's holding our cell together, our bodies together. This universe is just... it's amazing. We're going to talk about some things probably tomorrow about going deep. It'll scare you when you realize how in control God is, because things can happen so easily, and it'll cause you to humble yourself and want to be able to serve the Lord. But understand, you cry out to God and you pray, but faith without works is dead. So you're going to do what God says, but you're not, even though you're doing something and you're going back to your job again, don't trust the work of your hands. Trust the Lord who blesses the work of your hands. Don't trust your home to keep you safe in a storm. Trust God who can stop the storm and prevent the storm from affecting your home.
Mm-hmm.
Don't trust the money in your bank account or your wallet. Trust the Lord who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I mean, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so getting involved in the process, you don't want to pray and then you're seeing yourself start to do something, mm-hmm. and you're thinking, well, I thought God was going to answer, but thank God I took over. And, and I went out and got this job and I sold myself and I did this and I did that. And it's like, you can take credit for it. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's all God. The fact, mm-hmm. the question is,
all God.
Are we going to acknowledge him? He says, this is what he says in Acts chapter 17. He says, you know, that I did all this, including the very time, seasons, and your address. I put you there just to see if you would reach out for me, mm-hmm. though I'm not far from you. That's the whole thing. Will we acknowledge him? Will we acknowledge the Lord? We'll be right back.
John, check it out. I was going out to eat last week,
uh-huh.
and I got to sit down at my table, you know, setting up my napkin. And this girl, she just starts running up and down at the different tables. And she's like, hey, do you have the Find My iPhone app? And I'm like, the what? She's like, you know, the app where if you lose your iPhone, you can find it. And I'm like, well, that kind of doesn't do you any good if you lose your iPhone. She's like, no, I use your phone to find my phone. And I was like, oh, they got an app for that? She goes, yeah, they got an app for that. I was like, oh, okay. Well, it was a cool thing. Like, as we started talking and she started telling me about the app I needed to get. So I got that app and I go, well, check it out. There's an app that you need to get. And she's like, really? I go, yeah, there's an app, vfntv.com. And she's like, well, how do I get to that? I said, you can go right on Android or you can go on iTunes and type in vfntv.com. Start telling her about the VFN radio, the daily radio program, everything that God's doing, God's news behind the news, the top three segments. You've got all the live programming. There's an app for that. And we start talking. She's like, wow, there's an app for that. I says, yep, check it out.
There's an app for that.
VFNTV.com.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get right. people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, mm-hmm. then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history, mm-hmm. our history started with next step. And it was right. it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got mm-hmm. back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had right. to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus mm-hmm. and fill one particular stadium. And right. he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, mm-hmm. or they connect to us and download our app. But they like us, and so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like,
wow.
Think about it. I mean, if you just for $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. I want to talk about, in this last few moments, or the wisdom moment after this, about sleeper cells. You know, sleeper cells, when you think about them, that particular statement became popular with Al-Qaeda and different Russian spy agencies. And of course, we probably have sleeper cells as well as other areas, but it's people that just live amongst you that... go to school with your kids and have a house beside you. And they're waiting for a moment where they get a phone call from Putin, or they get a phone call from, you know, the president of Iran. And all of a sudden they kick into a different mode. All of a sudden they're no longer, you know, your neighbor or whatever. But
sleeping anymore.
They're not sleeping anymore. They wake up. And they're called sleeper cells. And then all of a sudden they do something. As a matter of fact, I think there was a sleeper cell in your neighborhood in New Jersey. Remember that?
Less than 6 minutes away.
Less than 6 minutes away. And they caught them before they woke up. They caught them before they woke up. And a sleeper cell is somebody that means to do somebody or something harm, but they're just kind of hiding. It's sort of like a virus in your body, you know, waiting for something to kick it off. Mm-hmm. And of course, no matter whether it's a physical harm or what, it's all based on spiritual things, because Ephesians 6:12 tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness and principalities and powers and evil things. And even if it's people, for example, that are going to be activated as a sleeper cell, they're driven by an evil spirit, wanting to do evil or harm. But the truth is, there's a lot of sleeper cells in the church. There's a lot of sleeper cells of people who, you know, they go to, they listen to the teachings with you. They go have dinner with you. Maybe they dress like you. They go to the little functions like you and all these different stuff. But all of a sudden, out the middle of nowhere, they are activated. And it's like, you're trying to kill this. What are you trying to kill? This is what are you trying to do? Why are you talking about the pastor that way? Why are you talking? Where's this coming from? And because that we're sinners saved by grace, we got to be very careful that that we ourselves don't become sleeper cells that are basically a lethargic sleeping church. And how you know sleeper cells? I mean, think about with you know, staying, you want to stay rightly related and connected, and you want to stay on the front lines of fighting. There's no sleeper cells when you're in a war. You're fighting side by side, you know, with your fellow soldier. You're in the same foxhole. You're fighting the same enemy, and you're kind of safe in those concepts. But the people that stay off the front lines, the ones who criticize those who are fighting the good fight of faith, that are out trying to do what God's called them to do, in that mix of that, that's very dangerous, that you can become a sleeper cell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think about, you know, there was a moment where Peter was a sleeper cell. Yeah, the plans of God was being unfolded. Jesus was obeying everything that the Father told him to do. He was about to go to Jerusalem for the next aspect of it. And suddenly, you know, suddenly Peter began to say, don't go to Jerusalem. And Jesus said, you almost tempted me not to do the Father's will. I was like, where did that come from? It was such a powerful hit that Jesus said, you almost changed God's plans on earth. That's huge. That's totally huge. And there's so many sleeper cells. There's people that hang out with believers, that dress like believers, act like believers, sing songs as believers, but they're not. They're like sleeper cells. And I remember I've been in a lot of different businesses in my past, and there's some people that just got in the business because they wanted the social life. They wanted to be a hang around people. And it's like, go sell something. Well, you know, I'm like, why are you even, if you're not making money, why would you want to even be here? And they like the social life. There's people that just like hanging around. But when it comes time to it, Jesus said, there'll be a time when everybody will be separated like wheat and weeds and wheat. Or there'll be a time when it's like sheep and goats. There'll be a separation of the sleeper cells, you know, and the ones that aren't. But understand that you got to guard yourself, and don't be shocked when all of a sudden a neighbor of yours starts saying and being used by the adversary to stop or destroy what's going on. And I'm telling you, you'll be blown away if you don't catch this and realize this. And Jesus, you know, knew that Satan was attempting him not to do the Father's will, but maybe you wouldn't know it. Maybe you'll just turn the whole ship. Maybe you'll change the direction of your life, not realizing that has to be, because these people were my neighbors. They have to be good people. They have to be good people because they go to the same schools that we go to. They go to the same church gatherings we go to. It's like, no, if that's not what God says, that's a sleeper cell. And we're going to talk more about that, but I really believe you're going to see those start popping up in the church culture as God begins to move in this day. And you're going to see, if we don't pay attention, you know, we could turn the whole thing. The word of wisdom, the moment of wisdom, we talk about, you know, every day, a moment of wisdom. And we want to share with you, it's the 27th of the month. And so we want to share from Proverbs 27:18, as a matter of fact. And we kind of correspond with it. Like I said, it's about 31 chapters in Proverbs. Therefore, it's 31, sometimes 30, sometimes a little bit less in a month. But Proverbs 27 kind of helps you out. Let that whole chapter of Proverbs just wash over you, because right now we need some wisdom. Mm-hmm. We need some wisdom big time. Well, Proverbs 27:18 reads, he who tends a fig tree will eat its fruit. And he who looks after his master, which is boss or employer, you think of it that way. And he that looks after his master will be honored. It will be. Think about that. Mm-hmm. He who tends a fig tree will eat its fruit. In other words, if you work on the fig tree, you're going to eat. You know, if you don't work on the fig tree, right, it's not because you're going to get punished. You're not going to have any figs. You know? You got to have some fig. You're going to work the tree. You get some figs. And then he compares it to that. And he says, he who looks after his employer or his boss will be honored, or his master will be honored. You think about it. In a day where so many people are losing their employment or fearing losing it, we need to look to see if we've been walking in God's wisdom when it comes to us taking care of the needs of our employers. And our bosses. Have we only worked for our own personal benefit or our family's benefit? And in our heart, we know we saw our relationship with our boss or our employer or supervisor as an adversarial one. Have we looked at it with, I'm going to get mine, or I deserve more, or I'm just going to do the basic requirements, you know, lay low and not do anything extra. I'm going to go home. That's it. Or I'm going to stand around the time clock close to getting off so I can clock out right there at the moment that I'm going to take home. I wonder how much money's spent around that time clock, right?
Yeah, right.
And on and on. How do we respond to our bosses, our employers, our supervisors? You know, is it all about me? Never emphasizing their needs, you know, walking, being empathetic towards our bosses, walking in their shoes. What's it like to be able to be an owner or a supervisor or a leader? You know, God's wisdom says very specifically that if we will look after the needs of our employer, if we look after the needs of our bosses, that God will bless us, he says in Ephesians chapter 6. But also, you have the greatest chance that he or she's going to bless you and take care of you. I mean, think about it. Empathy is a very important word. It's like walking in someone's shoes. When you think about being empathetic towards your boss, a lot of people, mostly you hear, I expect my boss to have empathy for me, but you don't hear many people talking about having empathy for their employer or their supervisor or their boss. And if you can get this, because listen, first of all, as a Christian, we serve a Lord who's able to empathize with our weaknesses. He can relate to us. And if you want to minister to the one that owns your company, your supervisor, your boss, whatever, you know, you're going to need to empathize with them. I mean, if you don't empathize, but this is an example. Here's an example. Maybe you're going to sit down and have coffee together, you know, with your boss. And you say something like this: you know, I was watching you this year during all this difficult financial times in this economy, the pressure you must be feeling and having to balance so much to keep your dream, your vision, and our company profitable and healthy. It must cause you many sleepless hours, you know. I think about it. It must cause you many sleepless hours, and how sometimes it just you know, the pressure that you must be feeling. Well, I just want you to know that I'm praying for you, that your sacrifice for us and this company and our customers has not been unnoticed. The burden that you are carrying is greatly appreciated. I mean, it was your vision. I mean, there was no company before you began to build this business. And I realized that, you know, you labored and I was honored for you to invite me into this, you know, and I've seen it. And I just want you to know that I'm here for you, you know, and the company will stand with you. I'll stand with you. And if you see a way that I can help carry this burden, a way I can make your load easier, I want you to know, by God's grace, you know, I'll be there. Mm-hmm. I'll be there with you, man. I'll be there. I'm just thankful. You know, we can do this thing together. I'm grateful to you for allowing me to work with you for the success of this business and being able to provide for my family. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, you'll stand out like a huge, bright halogen light because very few people empathize with those who are willing. As a matter of fact, this whole turn of our nation right now is totally missing the reality of what it takes to be able to establish things in a business. And it's like they always assumed that it was always there, that it wasn't always somebody there who labored and had a vision to bring something to pass. And because we lived in a free country, we were able to do that very thing, to be able to somebody's dream could be fulfilled. You know, and begin to empathize with your employer, your boss. Begin to empathize with them. Let God see that. He says, even if your boss does not reward you, if you do this with a right heart, God will reward you. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that.
That's right.
But if you're one that just shows up for yourself and you're in it for whatever and you hang around the time clock and you're looking for them to empathize with you right now, business in America needs you to empathize with them. Because they are under attack. Today's proverb, Proverbs 27:18. He who tends a fig tree will eat its fruit. And he who looks after his master, his boss, his employer, will be honored. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.